Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
It is the first day of December 2025. The year's almost over. I'm Andy. My career is almost over. That's weird to say and think about. But Jack Lancaster is with me this
morning. Good morning.
Hi, Jack.
I know it's about over. I just signed your retirement book.
He did. He signed the book. It's in the book.
It's in the books now.
It's in the book.
Wow. That's end of an era.
End of something.
How long has it been on the air here?
Well, I've been doing sports here in Southern Utah since 1994.
How long have you been doing the
this
Andy
morning
show?
It'll be 7 years.
Seven.
In January.
Yeah. Not long enough, my friend.
Yeah. Yeah. No, long enough. I love the show, and I love the listeners and the audience.
Yeah.
So you're right. That will be hard to let it go. And honestly, I told them if I could just do this show and not have to do the whole morning, I would probably do that. And they're like, no, we need an all or nothing commitment.
See how you are, man.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Getting up at 5 a.m. does get old after
that. I can imagine.
So, hopefully they have hired, I can make the official announcement, Dale Desmond will be the...
I know, Brother Dale.
Yeah. He said he's dropping the Brother Dale. He's
okay.
Going to be Dale Desmond.
Just Dale Desmond, okay.
And he'll be, he comes in tomorrow. I'll start training him tomorrow through... Thursday, and then Friday will kind of be my last day.
All right.
Theoretically. Honestly, I've tried to retire now for 6 weeks, and they haven't let me, so I don't necessarily believe it, but that's the plan. So,
okay. So, wow, sometimes it takes a while to get out the door.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It does. And you know what? I mean, they told me to back when I first announced this to management, like in August, I'm like, hey, this is what I'm doing. And they said, well, can you be flexible about your exit date? And I said, okay, well, right now it's Halloween or the day after Halloween. And I said, I'll probably, if you need me to go into November a little, I can probably do that. Well, here we are.
December 1.
And I'm still here. Jack, by the way, just got back from a trip.
Yeah. The wife and I just did a 17-day trip to Spain.
17, wow.
I think that's what it was. We left on the 10th. We came back on the 27th. So.
Your business here in town survived you being gone?
Fortunately, I've got a good staff, and they all, there was a minimum amount of headaches, but,
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Were you reachable? Like, we like to, when my wife and I go on trips like that, we don't buy the Wi-Fi package.
Yeah.
We don't buy the international deal for our phones. We just go, all right, we're out. If you need us, leave us a message.
So
we'll get it in
we bought the international package
you
for
did.
The phones.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because my wife still had to run payroll while we were out.
Oh.
And she did that on laptops. So we bought the Wi-Fi for 24 hours on the cruise ship.
Oh, nice.
That was $50.
Okay, that's not bad.
For 24 hours.
That is a lot of money for one day, but that's, all things considered, if you tried to buy it the whole time.
Well, the problem was, the day we had to run the payroll, we were at sea day.
Oh,
so if we were in port, there we had the data, and I could have done a hot spot with the cell phone, and we've done that with the laptop.
Mm-hmm.
But the day we had to run the payroll, we were at sea. So.
Okay.
We had to, there was no other option.
Had to bite the $50 bullet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's all right. Well, tell us where you went.
So we flew to Madrid first of all, we flew out of St. George to Dallas.
Okay.
And then we flew from Dallas to Madrid, which was nice. I mean, we got there. We left
Now, wait a minute. You said it is nice to go directly there, but the flight from Dallas to Madrid had to be, 11 hours?
Yeah. So we left here at 5 a.m. The flight out of St. George was 5 a.m.
Okay.
Okay.
It happens.
Yeah.
It's early, but
It's cool that you have these direct flights, but oh my gosh, the times.
Yeah.
And then we had like a 5-hour layover in Dallas.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay. So, and then the flight out of Dallas to Madrid, we left, I think, around 3 in the afternoon, whatever it was, and then we landed at 6 a.m.
Wow.
Yeah, that was fun. But then we had a car. It wasn't waiting for us. We were there early. We had to wait an hour for the car to pick us up. Then we took off to the hotel. They let us check in early. And then it was raining. So we just bounced around Madrid just like zombies for the day.
Now, your wife speaks Spanish, but she's from Mexico. Different kind of Spanish.
Yeah, it was
right,
funny because the Spanish The Spanish in Spain, they speak with a lisp.
A what?
Lisp.
A lisp.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they had a king, like, I don't know how many hundreds of years ago, mm-hmm. that had a lisp.
Okay.
And so then it became the fashion to speak Spanish like the king.
Really?
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah. So now when we say gracias, uh-huh. you know, for thank you, they say gracias.
Gracias.
Gracias. Huh. When you okay. say corazón.
Yeah, for heart.
For heart.
Yeah.
They say corazón. Corazón.
Really?
Yeah. So the Z's and the S's are a TH sound, basically.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was different hearing that. We were two nights in Madrid, beautiful city. Oh my gosh, I could go back and spend a week there. It was really, really beautiful. It was a very vibrant city. It was a Tuesday night or a Wednesday night we got there, and 10 p.m., and there was thousands and thousands of people just walking the streets at 10 p.m.
10 o'clock at night.
Yeah, it was crazy.
And it was raining.
And it was raining. Yeah, it's like nobody cared, you know. And it was off and on raining. It wasn't just steady.
Right.
It was off and on. We went to dinner, got some paella. So that's a Spanish rice dish.
Yeah.
Ours was with chicken and grilled vegetables. It was so good. Mm. And then we went to a show. We went to a flamenco show.
Okay.
And saw some flamenco. Then the next.
I saw flamingos.
No, not
I went.
Flamingo,
but you saw flamenco.
We saw flamenco. So
yeah,
it's a type of dance. It's I don't understand it. They dance. I don't know. They clack. They clap and they.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then the next day we took the bullet train to Barcelona, and as they say it, Barcelona.
So that, I always wondered about that, because Barcelona, it goes back to when they had a king with a lisp.
Right.
And
that's the way the Spanish
say. So that's why Barcelona is Barcelona.
Barcelona.
Okay.
Yeah.
I never knew that.
Barcelona. Yeah.
I learned something today.
Yeah. We were there at night. So that, again, the train left at 7 a.m. And it was a bullet train. So it's 400 miles from Madrid to Barcelona, as they say it. Mm-hmm. And that train was going 180 miles an hour.
No way.
Yeah.
Fastest you've been in your life, I guess, getting airplanes.
Right, on the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was insane how fast that train was going. So we got there, got checked into the hotel there. It was a night there. Again, we're kind of wiped out. That part of the trip, I think I'd have done differently. I think I would have stayed in Madrid another night and then taken the bullet train and got on the boat.
Okay.
You know, because the boat, the cruise left from Barcelona, as we say. And then it was an 11-night cruise to the Canary Islands and to Morocco.
Wow.
But our first stop was Gibraltar, which was really, really cool. Turns out there's a lot of caves on Gibraltar. We did the cave tour.
Hmm.
There's some natural limestone caves with a giant auditorium inside one of the caves where they do shows.
That is really cool.
Very and cool. Then
Tuacan East. Huh?
Yeah. Oh, it was amazing. And then they have some tunnels that were dug out by the British during the Spanish and French siege in the early 1800s. And then the World War II, they built some tunnels for some defensive fortifications there in World War II.
Oh.
And they had an airplane inside of one of those tunnels, a Spitfire fighter jet, but a fighter airplane from World War II.
Yeah, okay.
And it was kind of a museum in there. And that was cool. Then we did three of the Canary Islands, Tenerife, Las Palmas, and Santa Cruz, I think. And now, I didn't know this. But the Canary Islands are big cities. On two of the Canary Islands, we stopped on Las Palmas and I forget the names. There's a million people on each island.
That many? See, the islands I went to, there was, you know, Curacao and Aruba had about 100,000,
yeah.
and then Bonaire had 20,000 on the whole island.
So they're big cities.
Mm.
Each city had about 300,000, but the entire island, one of them was 800,000, the other island was 900,000 people.
Wow.
And we got stuck in a traffic jam, actually, and a bus.
Wow.
We were on a bus, on a tour bus, and we were in this roundabout, and the traffic was just insane. But, so, you know, that was interesting. You know, did some tours there. We didn't really get a chance to get out, but, I don't know, you get there, you get off the boat at earliest you can get off is around 8:30, 8 o'clock, and they want you back by 5:30. So, And they've left people behind in the past.
They will leave you behind.
Yes.
Yeah. In fact, my wife always says one of her favorite things when she goes on a cruise is to go out on the balcony and watch what they call the pier runners. These are people that their tour got back late and they're trying to run and catch the ship because the ship will not wait for you.
Yeah. The only exception is if you book a tour
through them,
through the cruise ship, then they will wait.
Yeah. We will always do that now, my wife and I, because we had an experience. We booked a non-cruise tour when we went down to Mexico one time, and the van broke down coming back.
Yeah.
And we were so nervous. We got back with maybe 30 minutes to spare, but we were supposed to have an hour and a half to spare. But we were getting more and more nervous, and they had guys popping the clutch, pushing the van, trying to get it to start.
Oh, my gosh.
And we asked the guy, is this going to make it? Because it was like an hour drive.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh, as long as we don't go below 20 miles an hour, we're okay. And
where was this?
This was in Mexico.
Which one? Which city? Area?
Oh, the Laredo, I think.
Laredo.
Laredo area, yeah. Oh. But anyway, we were getting more and more nervous. And in this part of Mexico, there's like little checkpoints every few miles. Yeah. And I'm like, well, we have to go below 20 miles per hour because we have to go to these checkpoints. Yeah. And I'm like, how are they going to do that? But I guess he had called ahead and arranged, so we only had to slow down. And he kind of waved at him and kept going. And we were able to make
Mexico
it.
Mexico for you.
Yeah, Mexico. So, all right. We're Canary Islands. So, what was next?
And then a day at sea. And then we did Casablanca, Morocco.
Oh, nice.
Actually, another big city. You know, we took the tour bus in. They had a big... we drove by Rick's Cafe from the movie Casablanca, which I don't think was the original.
Play it one more time, Sam. Play it again.
Yeah, play it again.
Sam. Well, play it again is the famous what he supposedly said, but he actually said play it one more time. Not
is that right?
Again. Yeah, it's true.
Oh.
Yeah.
Then we there's this the second largest mosque in Africa is in Casablanca.
Okay.
And we went and got a tour of that, and it's beautiful. It was giant, and we got to go inside and tour around, and it was fun. And then we got back early. That was one of the tours that we did. It was the cruise ship tour. And we got on the tour at 9 a.m., but they brought us back at 1. We didn't have to be back till 5 or 4:30. And so we didn't have time to go back out and do anything else. So that kind of was they wouldn't let us, the tour guide said, no, you gotta stay with the bus. Then we did, Tangier. After Casablanca. Okay. And that Tangier.
Are we still in Africa area? Then?
Yeah, we're still in Africa. And it's just on the, you know where Gibraltar is, where that narrow point is, the Straits of Gibraltar?
Right.
So Tangier is the city of Morocco right across from Gibraltar.
Okay.
So, and that was a cool city. That one had a fort. And you know what they call forts over there in North Africa? The name for a fort?
No.
It's Casbah.
The Casbah. Rock the Casbah.
We did rock the Casbah.
Okay. Nice.
So,
and did you rock the Casbah?
No, but you know, it was you're in an Arab country, so you'd be careful with that. So,
good point.
Yeah. It was fun. It reminded me of Mexico. It was more of a advanced, I guess, as Spain was, because you're not in the European Union anymore. So you're in Morocco. You're in this. Country that's not quite, this.
Yeah, not third world, but not first world.
You're coming somewhere in the between there. But what was cool there is we didn't hire the tour guide. We got the ship had a shuttle that took us from the port to the center of the old city, which was really cool. We got off there, and the guy comes up to me and he says, "Hey, you want to buy my tour?" And I said, "Oh, I don't know. Yeah, I guess." And I'm thinking to myself, "Well, he's not that big.
I could take him.
I think I could take him. Yeah. You know." So we hired. He had a taxi right there, and man, we got a great tour.
Did you?
Yeah. So we went all over Tangier. We got over to the Atlantic side. Went to a place called Hercules Caves. On the way there, we stopped and got a camel ride. So I got to ride a camel for the first time in my life.
Did it spit at you or?
No, they had little face masks on.
Okay.
So.
He would have spit at you then.
I don't know. That's the first thing I asked when I talked to the guy. Does this thing spit? Oh, no, they don't spit. No. And then, after the camel ride, we went to a place called, Hercules Caves. And we walked down to this cave and it had a funky smell in there, like somewhere between mold and piss. So it was kind of in between. But there was probably 40, 50 people in there. Just to, it was a tourist trap. There was gift shops in this thing. There was a band playing on a ledge in the thing. So we got down to the bottom of this, and it's beautiful. I mean, they've got it. It's very commercial. It's like a gift shop inside a cave. It's really wild. But this dude with the monkey comes up to me. And he lets a monkey crawl over me. And the monkey crawls up on top of my head and starts going through my hair.
Things that, yeah, looking for something.
Yeah, little monkey. Cute little guy wearing a diaper. And he crawls over onto my wife and starts picking through her hair. But her hair is really long. She had it up on a bun on top. He didn't like that, so he jumped back on me.
Nice.
So I got video of a monkey crawling through my hair.
Did he find anything while he was looking?
No, apparently not. Okay, so, right. Yeah.
That's good.
I turned out, yeah.
That's good. I saw a video of that online. I saw you.
Oh, you saw that?
Yeah.
That was cool. So, I mean, in one day in my life, I've done two things that's never happened to me before. I've held a monkey, and let him crawl through my hair, and I rode camels.
That was
actually pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
And then we did a back alley tour of Tangier. Turns out that... the tour guide, all the tour guides have a store that they take you to at the end. That's their buddy's store.
Right, of course.
Yeah,
of course.
So that happened in Casablanca where my wife bought a ton of stuff. We had to buy a new suitcase, by the way, to bring back all the stuff she bought.
Yeah. Way to go.
And so then we stopped at this spice and oils shop. And it was right up there with the Turkish rug shop that we went to when we were in Turkey. And it was like you set you down, they offer you drinks, they offer you something, and they give you the whole thing about how you cannot live your life anymore without these essential oils and spices in your life.
And your sweet wife bought it hook, line, and sinker?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. So then after that, we jumped on the boat. The next day, we were in Malaga, Spain, one of the most beautiful cities. So if I was to go back, I would spend time. I wouldn't go to Barcelona again, to be honest with you. I would go to Madrid and Malaga.
Madrid and Malaga.
Yeah. Malaga.
Or Malaga.
I always say that wrong. Yeah. And it was beautiful. That was a beautiful city. There was restaurants everywhere. We stopped and had second breakfast at this restaurant.
Everybody needs second breakfast.
Yeah. And it was delicious. And the people there were very nice. And we had a really good time. There was a big cathedral. We went in there and it was beautiful. And then my wife booked us a spa, 2 hours in the spa, in this Arab spa. And we went in, they had hot mineral baths and then a massage on a stone. And it was awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So,
very nice.
Yeah. And then the next day, we were at the day at sea, going back to Barcelona, and then Barcelona, come home.
Nice.
6 a.m. leaving Barcelona, got home to St. George at midnight.
And I saw you the next day.
And the next day, I was back at work.
Yeah. Yeah. That was, and you actually didn't look that tired to me. I thought you...
Well, we'd been up all day, and then by the time we got to bed, we were out. So I slept pretty good, but my body clock's just still off. I still feel...
Well, and I didn't see, I think it was later, it was mid-afternoon or something by the time I saw you. So at that point, you at least had probably gotten a little bit of rest.
Yeah,
But
yeah. So what about your trip?
Mine was just 100% relaxation.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a little bit of tourism.
How's the weather?
In there, but we got so lucky.
One
thing I've learned during the course of my marriage with my sweet wife is she is the luckiest human on the planet.
Uh-huh.
In fact, if she gambled, we'd be rich.
Oh, okay.
She just is so lucky. Yeah. You play dice games or whatever, and she always... We have this game called Play Nine. It's a form of golf.
Uh-huh.
And she'll have like two cards that hadn't been turned over yet. And you want to catch her with the ones that she doesn't know about, and there's going to be behind them. No, they're always like zeros or minus five.
Oh.
She's just really lucky. Anyway, I discovered that if, you know, you go on a trip with her, whether it's Alaska or whether it's the Caribbean or whatever, it's supposed to rain. When she's there, it will not.
Huh.
It will not rain.
Wow.
No, she's amazing.
Wow.
So, and I'm lucky enough to have her along with me everywhere.
So where did you port? Where was the cruise ship port?
We went to what they call, I didn't know this, they call it the ABC Islands, Aruba, Bonaire, and Curacao.
Oh, huh?
Those are the three places that we stopped. And, in fact, I did a trivia question last week. Which island that I recently visited had almost as many flamingos as humans? And that was Bonaire. In Bonaire, there's 20,000 humans and 15,000 flamingos.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, and it was a fun trip. Very relaxing. I'd never done celebrity.
Did you go out of, you were on a celebrity cruise ship.
Celebrity.
That's what we were on, celebrity.
Yeah, very relaxing.
Yeah.
Very, I mean,
I've been on Carnival and Princess and a couple of others, and by far the most relaxing cruise line was the Celebrity. I mean, it was just chill.
Yeah, that's the second time we did a Celebrity cruise. But did you go out of Miami?
Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, okay.
30 miles or so from Miami, and we actually stayed 2 days before and 1 day after in Fort Lauderdale. It was kind of a nice place.
2 days before and a day after?
Yeah, a lot of rich people there, though, Jack.
Yeah.
I mean, you and I would be like, I don't belong here.
Yeah, there were some mighty fine-looking yachts in the Canaries, too, by the way.
Yeah. We're talking about... Well, and the guy, we did a kind of a tour of the yacht lane there on the New River in Fort Lauderdale, and the guy was like, yeah, you think buying a yacht is expensive?
Uh-huh.
It is, $50 million, but he says that's nothing compared to the upkeep.
Yeah,
you've got to pay for a captain, and you've got to pay for a crew, and the gas tank on a yacht is like 1,000 gallons.
Yeah,
and it goes
you pay
like,
a premium for
it
that.
It goes like a couple hundred miles is all. It's unbelievable, and then he said that there was an area of super yachts. A super yacht is defined as a yacht more than 100 feet in length. And he said they have to pay for 2 mooring spots. He says the average price to pay to have it moored here per year is $18,000 just to have it sitting there doing nothing.
Yeah.
So,
Well, that's cheap for $18,000 a year?
Just to sit there.
Yeah.
Do nothing.
We saw a super yacht in one of the Canaries, and I looked it up. I forget the name of it, and it was $300 million. That's so much. And it was some rich Spanish guy that owned it, some billionaire. Yeah.
Yeah, very cool. We've already made it down to the bottom of the hour. I did want to talk about something. This is interesting to me, Jack, and we'll get your take on this. We have something going on that's not good. People are kind of falling away from organized religion.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, well, hey, you're a religious guy. Of course you think it's not good. Well, yeah, but the thing about it is there have been I looked at 10 different studies that said that if you want a happier life, a longer life, a healthier life, you will participate in an organized religion.
Yeah.
You won't practice religion at home. You'll actually participate in an organized religion. You'll go to church.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are choosing not to do that anymore.
Yeah.
And they may think it doesn't matter. It does, actually. We'll talk about that, but right now, we got to get a weather break in, so let's do that. We'll be right back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
All right, we will get to the religion thing in a second. I did get a text. Somebody, Kelly, asked, what about the cost of living in Spain, Jack?
So I was looking at, for example, I got a feeling it was close to what it would be around here, the restaurant prices, and we're in touristy cities, so, it's probably going to be a little higher there. Gasoline was about $7 a gallon, and so everybody's over there driving hybrids, and there's a lot of electric taxis, a lot of electric cars over there. Yeah.
Hmm.
Gasoline in the Canaries was actually a little bit cheaper, was around $5.50 a gallon, where gasoline in Madrid was about $7.
That's double what it is here, really.
Yeah.
So,
the cost of food, I looked at some real estate in, some of the Canary Islands, and you could buy a one bedroom on the ocean view for about 300,000, 350,000 euros.
Really? Not bad.
But they had the million euro, four bedroom places that were nice. Yeah.
We were driving around Aruba.
Cheaper than California, I would say, probably.
We were driving around Aruba, or maybe it was Curacao. Anyway, looking at houses, and they're like, what does a house cost? And the tour guide's like, well, that one there, I think it lists for $250, $270. And then we got to the area near the beach, and there, I guess there's a PGA tour stop on Aruba. Yeah. And he said, yeah, these houses are a little bit more. And we're like, okay, what does a little bit mean? He goes, well, that one there, and it looked like just a regular house. He said, that's about $1.5 million.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, what about that one there? That's a little big. That's probably more like 3
million or like, okay, well, now we found out where the expensive stuff is.
Right. So, yeah, I would say it's probably similar to here. The problem you're going to have, you know, unless you speak Spanish, you know. Now, the thing is, most of the Spaniards that I came across spoke English.
Mm-hmm.
They teach two or three languages in their schools. So I wouldn't say it's too detailed English, you know. And I would insult people because I would ask, habla inglés? No. Yeah. Of course. They would say, of course.
Of course.
And they'd roll their eyes at me, you know. So I quit asking that question.
I can understand that.
All right. Recently, Elton John came out and said God is an important part of his life. It wasn't early on, but he discovered God and religion later in his life. Alice Cooper, of all people.
Wow.
Same thing, early in his career.
Yeah, his father was a preacher.
Yeah. He said, early on, I turned my back on God, and now I'm realizing how important he really is in my life. Both of them said religion is a personal thing. They don't really participate in an active religion, but which is kind of a trend right now among young people. Young people are, especially females, but males somewhat too, are turning away from organized religion and going to, well, worshiping at home or making religion a very personal thing, which, first of all, having some religion, I think, is really good. But the bad thing is they're turning away from a lot of the things that make religion good for you.
Yeah.
Doctors are finding, and this is a really quite a turnaround from, say, even 10 years ago, that socialization, that having a shared belief system, that having a shared, Christmas parties or nativity scenes or, you know, summer barbecues or whatever with people that are of your same faith are actually very, very beneficial to us physically.
Well, we're social creatures.
Yeah. I think we all knew that, but they finally have scientific evidence that shows now that actually, in fact, that makes you healthier and live longer.
Yeah.
So
I agree 100%. You know, if you're elderly and the only reason you have to get out of the house once a week is to go to church, then that's a good thing for you.
Yeah. You know? Absolutely.
If you have folks that care about you, folks that want to check in on you, folks that come visit you on a regular basis as maybe part of their church calling,
mm-hmm.
Or not, just to be Christ-like. And also that discussion, that intellectual discussion that you can have, you know, in a Sunday school setting, or listening to someone else's stories from the pulpit and their faith stories, you know, those are all, I think, very, very valuable in that. So things that we can't get otherwise.
One of my favorite writers is a guy by the name of Jeff Minnick. He publishes mostly on the website intellectualtakeout.org. But listen to what he has to say. He says, doctors, researchers, and other experts have long promoted all sorts of remedies against aging, ill health, and depression. Take your vitamins, avoid certain foods, watch your weight, exercise, and get enough sleep are some of their basic recommendations for good health. But as it turns out, the best preventative medicine doesn't come in a bottle, a gym, or a cookbook. It comes inside a church.
Yeah.
It's actually, they're finding out with definitive proof. This isn't like, we think it's good for you. They're finding out statistically people live longer and happier lives if they attend church regularly.
Yeah.
It's a real deal.
You know, in our church, you know, we get assigned responsibilities, and that's another good thing to have, is have something that keeps you accountable to something.
Well,
you know?
Yeah. And the other thing, Jack, is if you think about, what do you learn at church? You learn to serve others. You learn to be kind. You learn to embrace your family, be loving towards your children and your spouse and your parents. I mean, that's one of the big ones, right?
To
honor thy father and thy mother. And this is also, you can say, well, they're judgmental and this, that, and the other. You can say whatever you want about religion, but if you take it at face value, religion, organized religion, teaches really good things.
Yeah.
And tries to get us all to behave in a way that non-religionists
get. The thing is folks that practice their religion tend to be more thankful for their blessings,
mm-hmm.
more thankful, and that's a good way to live. They tend to be less nihilistic, more outward serving, if you will. And charitable, giving of their time, of their money, things like that too. And those are all good things because mental health, you know, obviously affects our physical health.
Big
and time, yeah. And mental health is you know, the benefits are in, you know, in obviously calculable here.
Yeah. Let me read the last couple of paragraphs from Jeff Minnick here. He said, "The Sunday service I attend today is jammed with families, babies, wiggling toddlers, a horde of adolescents and teens. And every Sunday, these children bring me joy, a glimpse of a future I won't live to see, but one that is filled with promise and beauty and a faith in God. A decade ago, I never dreamed of living in my current town. Now, because of my church, I can't imagine living anywhere else. Give church a chance. After all, what have you got to lose? And if you find a church that feels like home, engage with it. Join a Bible study, work in the food pantry, take part in a men or women's group. Odds are you'll not only improve your physical and mental health and make some friends, but you'll deepen your relationship with God in the bargain. And I might add, you'll live longer."
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean.
And live better.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't.
Not just longer, but better.
I've always felt this way, Jack. Mm-hmm. I think you do, too. But we didn't have proof. We didn't have numbers. Now they have study. There have been, like I said, I looked up 10 different studies about people who are part of an organized religion. They have longer lifespans. They are happier. You know, they ask, you know, that with those polls, are you very happy, kind of happy, happy, not very happy, or very mm-hmm. unhappy? Mm-hmm. And they ask these people who are part of organized religion, and it was something like 70% of them are very happy with their life.
Well, another thing, they're going to probably smoke less. They're probably going to drink less. They're probably going to gamble less, take less risks with their finances. You know, all these things that are going to lead to, you know, a more, you know, meaningful life. And that's going to create longevity.
That might be the key right there, meaningful life, right?
Yeah.
How many times do you hear someone who maybe doesn't have any religion in their life say, what's the point? What's the point of life? I want to party and have fun. That's the point of life. Well,
we're 42.
Kind of, Boy, what?
42.
42 what?
Uh-huh. The meaning of life.
The meaning of life. Okay.
That's a movie reference. Sorry.
I was going to hold up one finger for Billy Crystal. What was that movie?
The cowboy movie.
City Slickers.
No, there was a movie, one of my favorite movies, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh, okay.
Where they asked the supercomputer Deep Thought, you know, what is the answer to life, meaning, and the universe? Uh-huh. And the computer said, I'll think about it for 10 million years. When they came back... When they came back 10 million years later, the answer was 42.
42.
Yeah.
And he doesn't expound any further. What?
Well, it says, the answer doesn't mean anything unless you can understand what the question is.
Oh, boy.
How can you understand? Well, then what's the ultimate question? Then the computer says, well, I created a world to ask the question, and that was Earth.
Okay.
Yeah.
Makes sense. I guess
those of you that are into the philosophies, if you have not watched or read the book, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, I highly recommend it.
Okay.
It's a lot of fun.
I will not endorse it simply because I never got into it. It was...
Watch the movie. Right. It's funny.
Funny is good.
Yeah, funny. It's hysterical.
How old is this movie? Is this?
Well, this version came out in like 2010.
Okay. Yeah. So not that old.
Yeah.
All right. To get off the soapbox, as far as religion, I just think, I mean, we talk a lot about on this show about loneliness and about, you know, these things that used to be, well, that's too bad. Now it's like, well, that will kill you if you're lonely, if you don't have a social group, if you're not engaged with other people.
Right.
Well, you know, just to kind of wrap it up, I'd say, look, if you're lonely, if you're not feeling like you're engaged, I know it's especially tough if you say lose your spouse and your family's far away or whatever. Join a religious group. Get involved. And I'm not saying join my church. I'm saying join any church. Join. Mm-hmm. Just get involved with a religious group, and you'll find that life has a lot more happiness out there waiting for you.
Yep. There's a lot to be gained from it,
right.
And very little to lose.
Yeah.
Except maybe your own self-importance or your own, you know, I don't know.
Selfishness.
Selfishness, yeah.
We'll pay some bills here. I'll be right back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
Welcome back. I'm Andy, 949 on KDXU. Jack is back into football again. Jack,
well, I've been following
you a little bit
BYU Cougars this year because it's fun to watch. You know, it's not often that a freshman quarterback is as good as this guy is.
Yeah.
Old Bear.
Smart kid. Bear Bachmeyer is his name.
Think he's got a pro future if he stays healthy?
Yeah, and I don't think he's ready yet for the pros. But
No. But by the time he graduates and everything?
Well, I don't think he'll be there 4 years. But probably 2 to 3 years from now, he'll
think
be.
You think the pros will recruit him if he stays healthy?
Yeah, he's strong. He's got a great arm.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the – everybody talks about him running the football, but he is actually a very good thrower.
Yeah, he is.
Very accurate.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Just a real quick reference, if you want to watch a pretty cool play, just go to YouTube or go to wherever and search Puka Nacua and catch. Puka made a one-handed catch yesterday for the Rams. Now, Puka is from Utah. He went to Orem High School. I covered him. I remember Desert Hills played him in the playoffs. Couldn't cover the guy. Understand? He's in the NFL now. But he had like 170 or 180 yards receiving in that game. But he made a one-handed catch yesterday that's going to go down. It's going to be right up there with the Odell Beckham one-handed catch at the goal line from 10 years ago or whatever. Mm-hmm. He made this catch that no human should be able to make. It was amazing. So, anyway, look it up online, folks, if you want to watch a video of that. It's pretty cool. Wanted to finish the game talking about phones a little bit. I don't know how you're thinking. Of course, you were traveling and stuff on Thanksgiving weekend. Thanksgiving weekend was fantastic for me, and maybe the biggest way was that I had a lot of family and friends around, and phones were decidedly a non-factor.
Oh, that's good.
On this weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's not they weren't there and people didn't look at them occasionally, but we so much wanted to be around each other and spend time together and play games and eat and hang out and talk that nobody really used their phone. I mean, I checked some scores. That was about it. And my son checked some emails and stuff. That was about it.
That's awesome.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
There is so much, you know, and I remember sitting on the airplane coming back from our trip, and the dude across the aisle from me didn't put his phone down for 1 second the whole trip. And he was really fast, and I guess a lot of people are this way. He was really fast to go back and forth between, you know, text messages and Facebook and Instagram and TikTok, and back and forth, all the whole trip. And this was a good 4.5 hour flight from,
Fort
Lauderdale to Denver. And he didn't put his phone down once the whole time. And I was just like, is that normal? Is that everyday life now for a lot of people? That
I don't know. I've watched movies on the airplanes.
Yeah, he didn't watch.
I try to watch a movie.
He didn't watch any movie.
He
didn't even look at a movie. He just did it the whole time.
Yeah.
And it was kind of distracting because I'm sitting there and I watched a little bit of movie, but mostly I just, you know, played some word games on my iPad and stuff. And But I was just amazed that he never, and he held it. I don't know how his arm held it, because he held it out in front of him like this the whole time. Well, I guess it was left hand, because his right hand was doing the manipulating. Yeah. But I was like, how do you not get cramps or something?
He does a lot. He's built up that muscle, you know,
I guess
holding it up there.
Practice makes him perfect, I guess.
Yeah.
But anyway, I don't think the human brain was built for as much content as gets thrown.
No, we get so much stuff.
Now, you managed to mostly disengage, right, on your trip?
We didn't buy the Wi-Fi except for one day because we had to.
Mm-hmm.
And that one day, I watched YouTube videos.
Yeah, oh, did you?
Yeah.
You
was all over that.
You're like,
which is what I spend time doing, watching is a lot of YouTube videos.
Yes.
And, I mean, you're on a cruise ship, and you're either, you know, going... You're either going somewhere or you're coming back from somewhere, and when you're doing that, you're getting ready to go off to the next thing.
Nice.
You know, because when we came back to the ship from the thing, it's like, okay, let's go kind of get changed, get freshened up, and go up and get some dinner, you know?
Okay.
You know? So
my wife is a fish. She loves swimming. So our spare time, if we weren't on an excursion, was at, in, by a pool or a hot tub.
Yeah,
always, yeah.
So, we only did the hot tub once, you know, because it was cold.
Yeah,
it was cold.
Well, that's why you go in the hot tub. Hot tub's not cold.
Yeah, but my wife she doesn't like the cold at all. She doesn't like the cold walk from the...
Right, when you're wet and you have to walk back.
Yeah,
that's understandable. That's understandable.
Yeah.
But I just, you know, as I think about social media, first of all, cruise ships... are fantastic for curing you of that.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people don't want to pay the money for the Wi-Fi or whatever. And if you're in, not in the United States, if you're in where you were, where I was, you have to pay extra to your phone just to get a signal if you want it.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people are cheap and don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And that means that you disengage a little bit from
And that's
that
a good
stuff.
Thing. It's that's a absolutely really a good thing. Yeah. You know, my wife and I, we felt like we had a second honey or a third honeymoon.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
We really felt closer coming back, and she mentioned it out of the blue, and I did too. It's like, this has really been really good. This actually was really good for her and I to reconnect and recharge our batteries and just get away from all the little things, you know.
No, it's,
that was actually a really good
absolutely
thing.
Absolutely fantastic for that. And I'm not saying go on a cruise. I'm saying if you can find a way to go on a social media fast with your phones for a day. I did it maybe about a year ago. I did it for I didn't use my phone all weekend.
Just put your phone on airplane mode.
Nice. Yeah, it's really cool. And you know, if you're addicted to your phone, you're like, I couldn't think of doing it. Try it once, but because one of the cool things is when you go off of airplane mode, all those texts and things, they all of a sudden go boop, 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 and repopulate your phone. So you can kind of...
You don't miss anything, really.
No, not really. I mean, I guess if you own a business, you need to have it. And, you know, my wife's old job, she's retired now, about 3.5 weeks now, retired. But her old job, she used her phone all the time, even at home, to coordinate. So that was her... She was kind of a fancy way of saying... executive assistant is a fancy way of saying she coordinates stuff.
Yeah.
Lots and lots of stuff. And she didn't have to do... doesn't have to do that anymore, and it's kind of nice. But I just think about the phones and how integrated they are, and I worry a little bit because, and as part into my nature, my mom taught me to worry about stuff, but because I just don't, I think there are people so into their phones, like the guy across the aisle from me in the airplane, they could not live without it. They would suffer major anxiety and be in maybe even physical pain if they didn't have that phone with them 24/7. That worries me, you know? What are people going to do when...
I think it's a... every time I've gotten rid of it, it takes me about a day or two to kind of quit having the habit of it.
Mm.
And then I'm fine. Then I don't even miss it.
Do you think someone like this guy who looked at it for 4.5 hours, do you think if we took it away for one day, do you think he would adjust?
I think it would be fun to, like, steal his phone.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Watch him go through withdrawals, you know.
a trip we took previously last year, a relative of mine left a phone sitting in the car back at home.
Uh-huh.
And we had gone over to Europe. He didn't have his phone.
Yeah.
And it's funny because his wife tried to move heck and high water to get that phone back to him. Yeah. She had people picking him up and FedExing and all this stuff. He never did get his phone on the whole trip. And it's funny because at the end of the trip, even though he complained a lot about not having his phone, he was like, you know, it was kind of nice. I didn't have my phone for a week and a half, and it was nice. And
So this cruise you went on, did you go with friends besides you and your
wife? There was another couple there we knew.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there was another couple there we knew. And they had, it's funny, we had different experiences because every excursion they went something different
else
than us.
Yeah.
And so you could say, well, we went on the same cruise together. We did, but we kind of didn't too because their experience was very different than ours, but it was they also did not get the internet package and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So we actually talked to each other at dinner.
Did you have a sea day from Fort Lauderdale to the first island?
We actually had 3 sea days there and 2. So it's not that far, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're going, hey, they're going 23 knots. Woohoo! You know, that's like 13 miles an hour or something. They're going really slow. But, and then we had these 3 sea days. You really only needed one. And then they had 3 days of islands and then 2 sea days back, which right there you're going, wait a minute, 3 there and 1 back. How did that work?
Yeah.
And then you realize, okay, if you do the math on it, it could have been 1 sea day.
Well, the more sea days you have, the more money they make in the casino and in their gift shop.
Yeah, that's true.
The jewelry store.
And I guess my wife was telling me those have to, once they get in U.S. waters, those have to shut down because they don't charge tax in the gift shops, and you can't run a casino until you're in international waters.
Right, right.
So
12 miles.
They like to get out there.
They get out there in a hurry.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, Yep. Well, Jack, that puts a wrap just about on the show here. We've got about 30 seconds left. I want to thank you, man.
It's been fun.
How many years have you been coming on this show?
I don't know.
At least two, maybe
two,
three?
Yeah.
Maybe four? I don't know.
Since I retired from here.
Yeah. Well, it's been a pleasure. So, I've loved having you on.
Yeah, it's been fun.
I know a lot of people that listen specifically to see if Jack's going to be on because they love it when Jack's on the show.
Well, thank you. So appreciate that.
Thanks for all your service, all your time, man.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure, buddy. It's been the Andy Griffin Show. Thanks for listening. We'll have Dale Desmond on tomorrow to talk a little bit about Dale and what he's going to do in the future of this show. I guess it'll become the Dale Desmond Show.